Welcome to your Sunday Reader. Today we'll be discussing the readings for the 20th Sunday in Ordinary Time, 2009. A reading from the Book of Proverbs. Wisdom has built her house. She has set up her seven columns. She has dressed her meat, mixed her wine. Yes, she has spread her table. She has sent out her maidens. She calls from the heights over the city. Let whoever is simple turn in here. To the one who lacks understanding, she says, come, eat of my food, and drink of the wine I have mixed. Forsake foolishness, that you may live. Advance in the way of understanding. The word of the Lord.
Taste and see the goodness of the Lord.
Taste and see the goodness of the Lord.
I will bless the Lord at all times, his praise always on my lips. In the Lord my soul shall make its boast. The humble shall hear and be glad.
Taste and see the goodness of the Lord.
Revere the Lord, you his saints. They lack nothing, those who revere him. Strong lions suffer want and go hungry, but those who seek the Lord lack no blessing.
Taste and see the goodness of the Lord.
Come, children, and hear me, that I may teach you the fear of the Lord. Who is he who longs for life and many days to enjoy his prosperity?
Taste and see the goodness of the Lord.
Then keep your tongue from evil and your lips from speaking deceit. Turn aside from evil and do good. Seek and strive after peace.
Taste and see the goodness of the Lord. A reading from the letter of St. Paul to the Ephesians. Brothers and sisters, watch carefully how you live, not as foolish persons, but as wise, making the most of the opportunity, because the days are evil. Therefore, do not continue in ignorance, but try to understand what is the will of the Lord. And do not get drunk on wine, in which lies debauchery, but be filled with the Spirit, addressing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and playing to the Lord in your hearts, giving thanks always and for everything in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ to God the Father. The word of the Lord.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to John. Jesus said to the crowds, I myself am the living bread come down from heaven. If anyone eats this bread, he shall live forever. The bread I will give is my flesh for the life of the world. At this the Jews quarreled among themselves, saying, how can he give us his flesh to eat? Thereupon Jesus said to them, let me solemnly assure you, if you do not eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you have no life in you. He who feeds on my flesh and drinks my blood has life eternal, and I will raise him up on the last day. For my flesh is real food and my blood real drink. The man who feeds on my flesh and drinks my blood remains in me and I in him. Just as the Father who has life sent me and I have life because of the Father, so the man who feeds on me will have life because of me. This is the bread that came down from heaven. Unlike your ancestors who ate and died nonetheless, the man who feeds on this bread shall live forever. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ. Hello and welcome to your Sunday Reader. I'm Father Brian, and I'm here today with a special guest, Father Bob Wirth. Would you like to say hello to our audience?
Hello, audience. It's good to be with you today and to be here with Father Brian to share these scripture readings for the 20th Sunday in Ordinary Time.
See, and Bob knows what it is we do. This is his first time on the podcast, and he didn't even know what a podcast was until earlier this morning. But we welcome him, and of course, we're going to discuss these readings. So I'll start off by turning it over to Father Bob and ask him, is there anything that struck you in these readings, anything that stands out, or any thoughts you'd like to share with our audience about the readings today?
Sure. I'd just like to zero in a minute on the gospel, which is John chapter 6. It's known as the Bread of Life Discourse. And I have thought for years and years and years and years that we have so much difficulty. The Eucharist and this living bread is such a powerful reality that we don't even have words to describe it. And I'm not being facetious or anything. It's just that our English language really limps at being able to articulate the profoundness of this living bread. Mm-hmm. It seems that it was already a part of the life of the early Christian community because John, being the last gospel written, did not feel that he needed to repeat those words that Jesus said when he instituted the Eucharist, "This is my body, this is my blood." So in John's own beautiful poetic way, he takes it into this new concept of living bread. And it's like, oh my gosh, why wouldn't we just be so hungry for this bread that we would just want to just get it as much as possible?
Mm-hmm. And it's a very powerful thing. And even it's recognized even in this whole discourse, because we've been reading it for several weeks now. And I think it was last week or maybe it was 2 weeks ago where the people say, give us this bread. You know, if this is what you're saying it is, you know, give it to us. We are hungry for it. We want it. And really, that's how we should come to the Eucharist, is saying, you know, give us this bread. You know, we really need this because it is so instrumental into our lives. One thing that I think is also really important for us to mention is it also, like you said, this was the last of the Gospels written, and it does show how ingrained this theology was of the Eucharist, that this isn't just some, you know, a piece of bread that we're distributing, but it is the body of Christ. And even the words that John uses when he's instituting this, the wording when he says, you know, that you have to eat of this bread and drink of my blood. The word actually, when he says eats, it means to gnaw. So it's, I mean, he's using a real vivid image of eating here. It's not just saying, oh, here, eat this, but where it could be metaphorical. He's saying, you know, like a lot of times we'll say eat something. He's using a word that actually means to gnaw on meat, to gnaw on flesh. So he's really saying, you know, you have to consume this. And he says, because my flesh is true food and my blood is true drink. And fortunately, you know, for us who are Catholic, who believe this, you know, we understand that it is the body and the blood of Christ. And fortunately, it comes in a sacramental form as opposed to the way that your body or my body looks, which would probably kind of disgust everybody because we get accused of cannibalism at times. But what we say is that this is Jesus coming in a sacramental form. So there's something, even though it is truly his body, it's under the appearance of bread and wine. It isn't bread and wine anymore, but it's under that appearance because otherwise we'd probably be repulsed by it. But it's certainly important because it shows us how we take God into our very being. And when you talked about how profound,
profound.
Something can be, there's really, you're right, there's no words in our language that can describe any of this.
And I think of on Sunday morning when we're distributing the Eucharist, I mean, just picture the procession. You've got all kind of people coming to communion, all ages and shapes and sizes and races, and they're all coming in that gesture of sort of reaching out to receive Jesus and to be admitting to the person ahead of you and behind you that, you know, I really need to do this. One day at a daily mass, I said to people, I'll never forget this, I said, why do you do this? These were people that were at a daily mass. They come regularly every day. Why do you do this every day? They said, Father, you don't understand. This is our lifeline. Mm-hmm. This is our survival.
Right.
We need this. We got to eat this bread. And it says right in the gospel, the one who feeds on me will have life because of me.
Yeah.
And how this literally flour and water and pressed grapes, the basic elements become for us the most profound gift that God can give us.
Yeah. And I think it's appropriate that he uses these signs too, like you said, because they are the basic elements. We can, a lot of times, as you were saying, you know, the English language doesn't suffice to describe it. Really, no language does. Our human minds can't wrap ourselves, or, you know, can't wrap around God. You know, we'll never fully understand what it is to be God. But what he's using here, one of the great things is a lot of times, you know, God uses images with us. And that's why in our church uses a lot of signs and symbols and things, because sometimes those can speak louder than words at times. You know, they say, is a picture's worth a thousand words or something right. like that. So, but what God is showing us is that just as you need these things to live, you need, you know, your drink, you need your food to live, so you need me to have life. Mm-hmm. If you really want to have life, you need to have me, and you need to take me in and incorporate me into your entire existence. And what a beautiful image that is. And that's what we're doing in the Eucharist, is we're taking God and bringing him into our, you know, into our very bodies. Mm-hmm. And it's, like you said, it's that lifeline. It's our source of life, certainly.
Yeah.
So, and another thing, though, too, that I thought from the first reading, too, it kind of got me. It talks a little about wisdom and wisdom being food. It also speaks of wisdom as the image of food. And, of course, that's one of the things that I like with the Eucharist, because it's, there's all kinds of dimensions to the Eucharist.
Ooh,
I mean, you've got the dimension of forgiveness, the dimension of everlasting life. But there's also this, it's the source of our knowledge of God, too, in some sense, of who God is. God is that living bread for us. He's the one who will sustain us, the one who will keep us going when things are going bad. So I think that's also really important, that you really need to have it's a source of wisdom for us as well. And, you know, wisdom talks about come eat of my food and drink of the wine that I have mixed. And a lot of times, you know, people can accuse us of being kind of foolish. I've heard people say, you know, oh, so, you know, the baker makes the bread, or the God made the baker, and then the baker made God, mm-hmm. by the Catholic theology. And it's kind of missing the point there when you look at it that way. Yeah. It's kind of a flippant or a foolish understanding of it. But what it really is, you know, we do this because certainly Jesus told us to, and we trust him, and we trust that there's a certain sense in which when we feed on this, we'll grow in, certainly in spiritual wisdom and insight, and in relationship with our community, too, because we're all receiving this at the same time. It's the central moment in the Mass.
I like this line, too, in Proverbs. Let whoever is simple turn in here. Again, the basic elements, flour and water and pressed grapes, are very, very, very simple. Mm-hmm. And I wonder if we as persons get a little bit too complicated at times.
Oh, yeah.
And trying to figure it all out, and it just, it's not that complicated.
Yeah.
God isn't that complicated.
Yeah.
God.
Yeah.
Well, and to think that it's Jesus coming into us and being part of every fiber of our being. Oh, my gosh, that's so profound.
Yeah. And when you talk about that, too, what it kind of reminds me of is a lot of times when we do things, I'm sure you've had this experience, I know I have, and you've got something you're working on, and you overthink the problem. You know,
there's an answer
that's staring you in the face, but you overthink it, and it gets, you make something that's really very simple, very complex. And, you know, we do that as human beings. And I think that's kind of what we need to do when we come to God, is we need that simplicity. Just say, hey, this is really simple. I'm not God. God is God. God wants to enter into relationship to me. What a wonderful gift that is. And all I can really do is sit back in awe and just say, wow, I can't believe God would want to be in relationship with, you know, pathetic old me or something
like that.
Me, that's right.
Yeah.
But anyway, Father Bob, we're coming to the end of our podcast time here. So I thank you for joining me this week on
the podcast.
And maybe we'll have you on again at some point in the future. And hopefully everything is going well at the St. Mary's Lounge sale. That's where Dawn, who normally does the podcast for all the listeners out there, Dawn is working the lawn sale hard so that they can pay that insurance bill. They use the money to pay the insurance bill at St. Mary's. So hopefully that's a success. And hopefully everyone will be back next week to join us on your Sunday Reader. Have a good week. God bless.